Tigers get the win yesterday. That's three in a row, and everybody's talking about Riley Green's mustache, the new rallying cry for this baseball team. John, it was all the talk afterwards. Jeff Rieger in the media scrum getting questions about the real story of this baseball team.
Uh-huh. Riley Green's mustache.
Yeah, the upper lip. Riley Green talking about all the guys loving the mustache. John, anything ever like it in your career? Superstitions?
No, I'm sure there was in the locker room. I'm sure there were some guys that had some superstitions that they would do. I wasn't a superstitious player. I had a certain routine that I liked to go through, but if I broke from that routine for any reason, I didn't feel like, uh-oh, today's going to be a bad day. So I didn't pay attention to some of those superstitions, and there wasn't one that we went on some magical run at the end of the season because we all, you know, patted the center on the head before the game.
Riley Green has to keep the mustache, right? Heather, is it a good look?
I don't love a mustache on anyone. So to me, it's not the best look. But I mean, if it's...
People are saying Freddie Mercury vibes. The guy from Super Troopers. People have pointed out that comparison.
Yeah. Freddie
Mercury.
Mercury, yeah. I get those vibes, yeah.
Yeah. I do too, and I don't love that look. Like the vibe, if it's a good vibe and they're going to keep winning, you got to keep the mustache.
Yeah, it's funny. Right? Yeah, I mean, we had Graham Glasgow on the other day, and we asked him to rate this mustache because he's been known to rock a stash.
Okay,
and he gave it what, a 9.7.
He did.
Gave a lot of descriptors and detail, and it's well manicured. Has AJ Hinch got it on this? Greg, can we play that clip? Riley Green. I think at one point, Jemai Jones goes, what is going on? What are you guys talking about over there? All his teammates touching his
mustache.
His mustache.
Now we would know what happened with Christian Wilkins in Oakland.
Oh, God.
Oh, gosh.
I'm going to filter.
Okay.
It's best if I filter.
Weird superstitions, though. Like, that's what this is. Like, yeah, you know what? Helps that the Diamondbacks are in town. Helps that you get Erod on Monday. Helps that Suarez wasn't in the lineup yesterday. But he did this against the Blue Jays. Wanted to shake things up. And away they go.
Are you superstitious?
Not even a little bit.
No?
No.
Neither? No, I don't think anybody here is superstitious. And so the one, I don't necessarily think it's a superstition, but it kind of goes along the same thing. One thing I don't see, whether it's at, you know, baseball or softball for Jaccarelli, is the rally cap. Has the rally cap gone away? Heather, do you know what the rally cap is?
I mean, I do, but I don't know anything about it. Like, I don't know why it started. Like, I don't know the origination of
the rally cap either. All I know is, hey, when bottom of the seventh, right? You need something to happen. You're down a run, two runs, whatever it is. Hey, we used to turn our hats inside out.
Yeah.
Go rally cap, and then all of a sudden, it create a little juice for the team. Maybe you hit a home run in the bottom of the seventh, you win the game.
It's definitely a thing, but I think you see less of it. Like, so when I went to the Frozen Four earlier this year, we were in St. Louis, we did a Cardinals game, and I referenced a rally cap to my wife, and she had no idea what I was talking about.
Huh.
Later in the game, we saw someone rocking one, and she's like, oh, I thought you made that up. No, it's real.
Yeah. I also don't hear much chatter at youth baseball. Now, the girls all have, like, cheers that they do for their team, but, like, you know, Little League, I played for the Owls in Clawson, right? It was, hey, batter, hey, batter, swing. You know, like you don't hear that same chat. It's not trash talk. It's just a little chatter from the dugout.
Gen Z ruining the rally cap.
Yeah. Well, they're concerned about the light bulb or paying rent or
moving out of playroom.
Mom's basement. Yeah, solo play. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. I guess they have bigger things that they're worried about.
Look, one of the Tigers that hit a home run yesterday publicly stumped for one of the big targets ahead of the trade deadline. We're going to get to that at 9:35 plus John Jansen's loaded trade deadline question. Let's get to Heather with the news.
A Walgreens employee right here in Farmington Hills jumped into action and helped save a customer from being scammed out of hundreds of dollars.
Mm.
Caught a scam live in action. So recently, this employee, Cody Moore, noticed something not quite right with a regular customer, an older woman who comes to the store frequently. So somebody he's seen a lot.
Okay.
And he noticed that she was buying gift cards for $500.
Red flag.
Huge red flag. And then he also noticed that she was receiving multiple calls from a you know, an odd area code, right? Mm-hmm. And he just said, this isn't right. And instead of, you know, just saying like, whatever, I'll ring you up for this and be on your way, he decided to ask her some questions and jumped in to help her and said, you know what, this isn't right. I think this is a scam. And she kind of sat there or stood there in line and said, thank you. You know what? I think you're right. And she said that it's been weighing on her. But because she maybe doesn't have family or somebody right. she can talk to, she thought she was doing the right thing. And thankfully, this young gentleman said, you know what? I'm going to step in. And now he says he just hopes that he's a reminder for everybody to just look out for all of your fellow human beings.
Yeah. If they're asking you to pay you in gift cards yeah. from a store.
It's your first red flag.
Immediate red flag.
Yeah. Not right. So the Yankees and the Phillies played a 3-game series over the weekend. But social media had its attention on a different situation that apparently took place during the weekend series.
John, did you see this?
No.
Did you see the video? So two fans were recorded by another fan who was sitting a row or two up as they appeared to be engaging in some sexual activity while watching the game.
Didn't we have a story like this a couple of years ago? I think it was at when the Athletics were in Oakland. And there was something happening in the upper levels of the stadium.
Because no one sits up there?
Yeah, well, yeah, because almost no one was at the game.
Yeah.
So.
Could be.
Any more description other than were getting after it?
I don't. Would you like to describe it, Jim?
Well, can you just read the article that way?
The article doesn't have anything. It says a sexual act. The video says it all.
Oh, please describe.
One person's hand is down another person's pants, John.
Oh, okay.
Sure. I mean, yes, that is correct. Okay. I mean, watch the video if you really want to see it. A lot of people, I think,
I don't really care to see it.
We're you know, disgusted by what they saw. Oh. Yes.
Once again, are we not talking about Christian Wilkins? Because he does have there's a super cut of him out there like that.
Stop it.
Oh my gosh. No. Somebody said, why would they be doing this at a baseball game? This is effing insane.
And there are people around them. Like, it's not like they're like in the back by themselves.
There's not anybody sitting directly next to them. They have some open seats next to them. And I think even in front of them, there's a few open seats. But obviously, this person was just a row up or two filming them. And it's pretty clear what's going on.
I've got to ask the question.
Don't do it, because I don't know what she looks like.
We can't see her face.
Is she hot?
It's the video is from behind.
Oh.
I can't see.
Here's the video, John.
Yeah. I'm not even going to go there.
Yeah, there's some squirming.
There. Sure.
Squirming.
Right there, right in broad daylight. This is not a night game, right? This was right there in broad daylight for everyone to see.
Yep.
Awesome. So lots of U.S. adults are using AI. Are using AI, but they might not be using it the way you would think. So there's some new research that shows most adults use AI to search for information. Fewer people are actually using it for work or drafting emails or shopping, I guess. And this is not crazy to think. Younger adults are the ones who are most likely leaning towards AI for those things, for brainstorming and work tasks. So the research shows that 60% of Americans overall and 74% of those under 30 use AI to find information at least some of the time. I was reading one woman saying that she regularly uses ChatGPT. I've never really used it. I've dabbled with it a little bit, but like...
Same here. I've dabbled with it, and I don't know if I'm just... If I'm not specific enough on the prompts, or if I don't... I'm just using it wrong.
Well, have you seen it now?
It's pretty crazy what it can do.
If you Google, you'll get like an AI overview, and it's not even right half the time.
Well, that's scary. Well, hopefully people are fact-checking what they use. But there's one woman who says that she uses it for meal planning. Like things I would never think to do. Like create a menu for me, this type of diet, this type of flavor, and it will come up with a meal plan. I'm guessing recipes to make. And
yeah, but what happened to like creativity? Like I think it zaps a lot of creativity.
Using a cookbook.
Yeah, family of seven. I think we could use a little AI help from time to time.
I don't know.
It's always the hardest question too is, hey, what's for dinner?
Yeah.
Look, I think it comes from a place of like, help me out. But what I think it ends up doing is replacing a lot of like actual mental brain thinking.
When you use it to write a complete email, like that's what I don't get. You can't write an email? like generate an email for me? Like,
how about this?
I don't get that.
Greg?
Hear me out here, guys. A theory I thought of over the last few days. AI summaries are this generation's Clippy.
Clippy? Oh, the paper clip mark? Yeah. Or wait, the clip mark, the paper clip.
The clip mark. It's the instant cliff notes.
Hey, guys, need some help working the spreadsheet?
Spark notes were my favorite.
I'm even getting it in emails now. They want to sum up my email before I even read the email.
Jim is proposing topics for tomorrow's show.
Yeah. Like,
right.
No kidding.
A fan was engaging in sexual activity in the stands with another fan.
Oh, wow. Click on that.
Yeah, John's all over it.
Clickbait.
Oh, no. All right. That's Heather with the news. Coming up next, John's loaded question on Deadline Eve and a Tigers hitter publicly calling for one of those names on the market. It's 97.1.
All right, guys, time to step up to the plate against hair loss. Dr. B at Michigan Hair Restoration is celebrating 30 years of turning back the time for thousands of guys across Southeast Michigan, helping them regrow their hair and restore their confidence. And to celebrate, during the month of July, you can get up to 30% off all hair transplants and medical hair rejuvenation packages. But here's the catch. It's limited to just 30 clients, so don't wait. Dr. B is a true pioneer, one of the first in the world to use your own hair to fortify new growth. Now, this medical therapy once seemed like science fiction, but it's now a reality right here at Michigan Hair Restoration. So forget those old school hair procedures, no stitches, no staples, no embarrassing linear scars, just real results you can run your fingers through. He offers the most advanced treatments, including natural therapies that keep getting better and better every year, and he guarantees all of them. So the sooner you go to see Dr. B, the more options you'll have. Don't wait till you're out of innings. Go to MichiganHairRestoration.com to book now. Mention 97.1 and take advantage of these exclusive July offers before they're gone.
The trade deadline is tomorrow in baseball, and John Jansen has a loaded question involving our team, Scott Harris, and the decisions to be made.
I do, and the question is, because it's one of those, the question leads to more questions, and it's really a preference of how you see this team, what they're capable of, and their timeline. All the things that we talk about here on Detroit Sports Talk. Are they really going to go for it? But that's not the question. What is your level of confidence that Scott Harris will do the right thing at the trade deadline?
Which begs the question,
what's the right thing?
So you got to work backwards here. The right thing to me is adding a bat and an arm minimum. That bat is Eugenio Suarez, who's in Detroit and should not be allowed to get on a team playing at the end of today. It would be a mistake by Scott Harris to let him leave town. He's the best right-handed bat available. He's the best bat available, but he plays third base. He's
that
righty.
We know of.
Sure, of the names discussed. He's the best available guy. He's a rental. He should not cost a top 100 player.
You could always get that Christmas present of something that nobody talked about, and all of a sudden, bam.
Fine, but he's available.
Yeah.
He's a rental. Shouldn't cost you your farm system. He's clutch, a 300 postseason hitter. He's driving in runners in scoring position this year with 1,000 OPS. John, if you want to argue swing and miss is a problem, Riley Green swings and misses even more and is a huge productive piece of this baseball team. So you can't have it both ways. You can't go, boy, Riley Green's such a big part of this baseball team and say Suarez wouldn't help us. He'd make a big difference for them. Should not be allowed to leave town. Of the relievers, I think there's a lot of guys available. Bednar makes sense from the Pirates, but he's far from the only guy available. John, to me, the right thing to do is one of each. My confidence level, he'll do it. I think they'll add the reliever. I'm not confident they add Suarez. I think it's less than 50-50.
Well, I'm right there with you. I won't be as upset as some if they don't go get Suarez, because I've done the mental gymnastics in my mind, and I don't think that's where Scott Harris goes. I don't know that they don't add a bat. I just don't think it's him. And so I'm prepared for, I don't even want to call it a disappointment, maybe a letdown. So I do think they add an arm. I would love for them to add a bat. I would love for it to be Suarez, but what is your confidence level that Scott Harris will do the right thing? If the right thing is Suarez and a quality reliever. I'll just say quality.
Yes. Swing and miss guy.
Which can mean a lot of different
leverage
things.
Leverage guy, whatever word you want to use.
Yeah. My confidence level that gets done is very low.
But and why, though? Because you and I think the same thing, but yeah. Why, though? Like, generally speaking, he's done a good job. Why don't we have the confidence in him to go with gusto here at the deadline?
It may be as simple as some of the things that he said in terms of when he was on with us, a pragmatic approach.
But Suarez is pragmatic. Do you disagree with that?
You
don't think it... Like I think pragmatic to me... a rental bat...
But I don't know for him what he's willing to give up for it. And I don't think the way the market is set up, yes, it's still a seller's market, but it's players aren't selling for what we thought that they would.
Well, time's ticking, right? I mean, you can hold out for the stars and the sun and the moon, but...
But if no one's offering it, then...
And I think the Tigers farm system is robust. So, like, Troy Melton's a guy not in their top 100, not in their top 5 organizationally.
But how does the Reese Olson injury affect that decision?
Well, they added Chris Paddock, John. I say it sarcastically, but they value Chris Paddock. That was the one-for-one move that they addressed. They addressed Reese Olson in their eyes. So, like, I don't know. If you think, well, I need Melton because Scooble might not re-sign. Well, if Scooble might not re-sign, win while you have Scooble and go add Suarez. Like, I just don't understand why they would be cautionary, because if you don't add a contender next to you, will, right? Like, Seattle started this skid.
I don't think any of us believe that Suarez wakes up on Friday morning as a Diamondback.
No, and if he's a Mariner, that's an ALDS opponent potentially. Yeah. I mean, the Cubs are a popular landing spot, or the Phillies, those are potential World Series matchups. I want him in this lineup hitting 3, 4, 5 somewhere in there. And for everybody who says, well, what does that do to McKinstry? McKinstry hit a home run yesterday, and he wasn't playing third.
Right.
McKinstry doesn't disappear. You know who he likely replaces? Like Andy Ibañez?
Right.
And no disrespect, he had a moment last year in the playoffs. Suarez is the much better player.
There's no debate there. There really isn't. And would this lineup be better, more dangerous with Suarez in it? Again, yes, no question. I just don't think, and it may be as simple as Scott Harris, as president of baseball operations for the Detroit Tigers, has never been in this position as buyers at the trade deadline.
Is that
some
of the doubt?
We don't know what he's really going to do. There's no track record. We know what it is when he's selling, or when he's trying to sell a contract with stipulations that are out of his control, which was happened with Erod. We know what he can do as a seller with Jack Flaherty. Last year, he got Trey Sweeney. He got Theron Lorenzo. Mm-hmm. Now, Theron Lorenzo could be packaged in another deal.
A bigger move.
And moved on to somewhere else to bring a player here, which you would hope would be Suarez.
Again, they have the best record in the American League. They just went on this awful, lousy skid. They've won 3 in a row, and now they are right back where they were all year atop the American League, tied for the best record in the AL. If now's not the time to go add a bat and an arm...
When is? And if you're doing the, there was a comment on Twitch that I'm going to see if I can go back far enough to find. But when you have, it seems like it's always next year, right? Next year. So last year is Scooble, right? And we have no idea what they're thinking of. And here it is. I will never understand the group of Detroit sports fans that have been brainwashed into saying next year is the year every year. Like, the Wings fans who say no big free agents this year because next year. They've said that for like 4 years. Don't trade Tiger prospects because next year is the year. When is this the year? When is it going to be this year? Tigers should make power moves. Next season isn't promised. I think that's the perfect text.
Yeah. Well, and then the lockout beyond that. I mean, like...
Right. We don't even know if there's baseball.
You have a moment in time in front of you where you can put your chips to the center of the table. You can choose to play it conservatively and give other teams a leg up on you and play for next year. Or you can say, you know what? Next year's not promised.
Right. And you're not going to be the favorite, no matter who you face. I wouldn't say no matter who, but likely suspects that you will face in the World Series, you're probably not going to be the favorite. Even if you trade for Suarez, you're probably not going to be the favorite, but you can match up better.
Because I've seen that narrative from people. And it's funny, like this crowd that just doesn't want to try. When they're winning, it's, we don't need a bat. And then when they go on the skid, well, we're not good enough to add a bat. It's like, you're just making excuses to not try harder, not to make the moves to be more competitive. It's loser talk. Well, if we can't win it this year, we should trade Scooble. Losers. Losers if you have that opinion. Trade away Scooble. Don't make the big move. Play for next year. That's loser talk. That's not competitive. Sports are competitive. You have the best record in the American League. Ticket text 248-539-9797. They're in first place by 9 games. We have the ace of all aces to start multiple times in a postseason series. Green light, let's go.
I mean, this fan base is starved for a championship. It's been a long time. And it's, you know, the Tigers are the last ones to be, you know, a championship contender. Sorry, the Lions. They haven't made the Super Bowl. The Tigers are the last team to be in championship contention,
yeah,
in a World Series. And they didn't win. It's been a long time since we've had the opportunity to take a bite at the apple. And I don't know if we're just so starved that we, you know, hey, it's all in no matter what it takes. But I don't, I mean, Scott Harris hasn't been here for that long.
No.
He doesn't have that same feel. I know he probably hears it from fans.
Right.
I don't know. They're not going to influence what he does, but
he's aware.
Yeah, he's aware of what's going on. Ownership should be the ones that are directing this and saying, go get it.
Go get Mason Miller from an unnamed texter. Hard to find guys who throw 103, addresses the bullpen the way John wants. Says I'd even be open to Randy Rodriguez from the Giants or Suarez, a reliever for the Pirates. Or, Padres.
I think that's their number. If they come away with a reliever that can be effective, I'll be happier than I am now.
Okay. I think they will add a reliever.
Yeah.
Not much confidence in Harris. He's the same as Holmes. Don't make the moves necessary to win a championship. Do enough to keep the seats full.
So you're basically saying that Scott Harris doesn't value a World Series, which I disagree with.
So it's this trade-off of sustained success where you can be in the hunt for years, or are you willing to burn a bit of your future to try to win now?
Well, it's job security.
Well, yeah. But
are you willing to take that risk that if it doesn't work out, it may cost me my job in 3 or 4 years?
You have to be willing to take risks if you get in that seat.
Yeah.
You've built the teams up as well as both men have.
But we haven't seen Scott Harris in this position to know, is he going to be a guy that is always pragmatic, or is he willing to take a little bit of a risk?
Tech says, what kills me the most is we're in the heat of a playoff series, and the player we should have gone after went to the team we were playing, and they contribute against us. Forecasting a Suarez situation, or someone they don't go add. How much can a dang rental bat cost to only have for a few months?
Well, the way the market's setting up is, and I really don't think you're going to have to give up one of your top five. I don't think there's really anybody else out there that's thinking that you're going to have to give up one of your top five.
I wouldn't think so. Look, Suarez has been the talk of the town because he's in town, right? And he is the premier right-handed bat available at the trade deadline that we know is available at the deadline. Gleyber Torres, stumping form. We'll tell you what he had to say next. It's 97.1.
Value-driven banking begins with First Merchants Bank. When I have questions about my finances, I turn to my bank. That's First Merchants Bank. I know that their attentive local bankers are 100% interested in listening to my situation and in helping me find the answers that I need. First Merchants doesn't provide cookie-cutter solutions or check off boxes when it comes to financial advice. They're going to take the time to learn about my life, my personal financial goals, and work with me to build a plan that fits my situation. That's because First Merchants Bank really cares. In fact, I got a call from them last week. We got this new product. I think it fits perfect for you. We went through it, decided, it's not the time. But that's what they do. They're always looking out for you because you're not just a person to them. You're not just as a number. You are an individual, and they're going to do all they can to help their customers and communities succeed. You can count on that since First Merchants Bank is staffed by local bankers who know and are passionate about the needs of the local community because it's their community as well. And we all have to work together to help it continue to prosper. To get started on your personalized financial solution today, you can visit them at firstmerchants.com. That's firstmerchants.com, First Merchants Bank, member FDIC.
Party got started with Gleyber Torres, but Riley Green also went deep. Zach McKinstry. Tiger Bats woke up.
Bats got fired up.
With Gleyber Torres, he spoke before the game. And he's a vet. He's an all-star. He's played in a World Series. And he said, Suarez, oh, it'd be a really, really good addition for us. Two reallys. And says if he comes here, it would be awesome in every aspect. Publicly campaigning to add Suarez to this ball club.
Well, that's a guy that has been on other teams that have been buyers at the deadline. A lot of guys on this team that have never, they don't know what it feels like to be buyers going into the trade deadline or what it feels like when your team does make that commitment and actually brings in a difference maker with 2 months left of the season.
So mission for today, don't let them leave town.
They're off, both the Tigers and the Diamondbacks tomorrow.
Yep.
Who is it that is going to be at the airport spying on the Diamondbacks charter? Is Suarez going? Is he here? Is he still at the hospital? Is he still nursing his hand?
Lock him in the clubhouse. Don't let him leave.
Yeah.
Jack Campbell, take Lions practice off today. Stand in front of like the airport gate or whatever it is, and don't let him buy you.
Yeah,
bring him to the ground, as they say.
He's our defense. This is his defense. Let's see how good he is.
So Heather was sharing with us that tomorrow could be a different day here.
Maybe, possibly.
You haven't decided yet.
So they're doing this big event at work tomorrow at 11. It's like they're doing a dog day here. They're going to have dog adoptions.
Oh.
And everybody who has a dog is invited to bring in their pet, if it's friendly, on a leash.
Well, friendly can be a little bit ambiguous.
Sure, but everyone is invited if you want to bring your dog to this event.
Well, everybody thinks their dog's friendly.
Of course. So I thought, well, gosh, I probably shouldn't bring both of my dogs because it could maybe, that's just a lot. I'm at work. Like, I've got to focus on work. Yeah. It might be a lot to handle, but I thought, well, I could bring maybe one of them.
Well, if they're just roaming her. I mean, we could contain them in here.
Well, I bet you she would just lay underneath this desk the entire time. Uh-huh. Or next to the desk or next to me. But, so I don't know. So I thought I could stick around.
Oh, she'd bring them in the studio.
I'm not going to leave her out there.
We got mics. We don't need arf in the background.
Oh, what's she going to bark at? She can't even, there's no windows. Yeah. She can't see anything.
Dogs don't bark.
At a squirrel.
Well,
sure, but
Maybe at Jim.
She wouldn't, there's nothing to bark at here.
Okay.
So she doesn't bark at people.
Well, I assume they wouldn't be like in studios. They'd be out in...
Oh, no, they'd be in studio.
Oh, well, at 11, the event will be out of the studio, but I'm not going to go home.
No, there's other individuals in other studios that have dogs that they take them into the studio, and they do. They just lay down. There's a dog bed, whatever.
There.
Yeah, it would be awesome. I'd love to meet one of your dogs.
I've been debating about it because tomorrow I actually had the day open, so I could stay for this event.
Mm-hmm.
I thought if I'm going to stay and dogs are invited,
bring your dog. How do you decide which dog?
Oh, it's pretty easy.
Oh, there's a favorite.
Oh, you have a favorite?
Oh, no, not a favorite, but one that's more well-behaved.
A little more docile?
Yes.
Okay, well, that's the one to bring.
Yes.
Well, they're both really well-behaved, but I think one is, you can say, higher energy than the other.
Is your dog adept at shaking hands?
Yes.
Okay. The sniffing of dogs.
Oh, well.
Is Costa going to have to worry about this dog sniffing?
What are you talking about? Give him a sniff, but it's not like.
What are you implying right now?
That's good. Your dog going to sniff his backside?
Maybe.
Continuously?
No.
During the show?
Uncomfortable?
No.
I would love to see Costa go through a show like that. Because you seem a little uneasy that the dog would be in the studio.
I know. That was surprising to me that you'd leave the dog out. I'm not going to leave it out there.
My gut was they wouldn't be in the studio when you're doing the show.
But I got to watch her. Like, I need, I do, like, she's a really well-behaved dog, but I'm not going to roam around.
Right. There's a lot of plants out there.
And just things. I don't know. I got to make sure she's not chasing somebody down the hallway.
Yeah, or somebody doesn't let her out the door.
Yeah.
So how would you feel if my cat was in the studio?
That's a different animal.
The cat would be literally up here, though. Prancing around, knocking things off the table.
Yeah. Biting at cords and wires, us off the air.
But the adoption isn't for cats, right? It's dogs.
It's all dogs. And if you could bring, it said you could bring in like dog toys, dog food, dog whatever as a donation, and you get entered into a drawing for some fun giveaways and things like that. So it's a fun day at the office, I think.
No, I think it's a good thing to do.
Yeah.
I would note that they've never done this for cats.
Cats don't travel well.
They don't. My cat would not want to be around other cats anyway.
And they don't play. Yeah, they don't like really play together.
Some do, but some are territorial or difficult.
Yeah.
Spoiled.
I mean, I love cats too. I'm in favor of both, but I understand why they don't do cat events.
John, have you been looped into Heather's the talk about cat stuff with her and I?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that you have all of this great cat stuff because unfortunately you have it available.
Right. We had to put our cat down recently.
Right.
So we didn't cancel our shipment of food that we get delivered. So we have this big bag of cat food, and then I have this huge thing of kitty litter, never used, unopened. I thought, who better to give it to than my coworker, right? Than Jim. Oh, no. My cat food isn't good enough for Jim.
No, he's not good enough for Roomba.
Roomba's on a special diet that my cat food is.
He doesn't eat dry food.
Do you keep your cat food in the fridge?
No. No. But he eats like pate, chunks, wet food.
Yep.
Pate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You feed your cat pate?
Yes.
They sell it. It's cat food.
Yeah. Oh, okay. And then I thought, well, the kitty litter, that's obvious. Anyone can use that. Not Roomba.
No.
Roomba is on a special kitty litter.
Oh, Roomba has a sensitive behind.
Yeah, that will let their owners know if it has a urinary tract infection or
Oh, it doesn't create
something.
A rash or anything. It just
No, it changes color like the litter does to let you know if there's any issues.
Which then all goes back to you and what you have been calling him.
Yeah, he's a dink.
Emphasis on the N, not a C.
Right, yes. Dink. Dual income, no kids. You got discretion.
Spending all their money
got all
on
this
Roomba.
Extra income to spend on a cat.
Anyway, Carson Anderson are standing by. What's going on, guys?